Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, verse number 28, we're going to begin. If you're keeping track, this is sermon number 67 in the Gospel of Mark series. And I know some of you are thinking, it seems like much longer than that, preacher. Well, it has been. It's taken us about 3 years to get to 67. But nonetheless, we're here. Here's the truth. Today, Jesus is coming again. All the world looks for something. All the world religions today are looking for a Savior that's coming. And they've got all kinds of different ideas. And I keep going back to the Word of God. And I challenge people a lot of times. You struggle with what the Bible says and what it teaches. Well, grab a hold of Genesis 1:1 and the rest of it kind of falls into place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whenever I believe that, whenever I trust that, everything else becomes rather second nature. Well, here we are in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is dealing with his disciples. I ask him in verse number 3 about the signs of his coming and the signs of the latter day. And he sat down and began to teach them and walk them through what was coming, what was happening. Some of these events in chapter 13 have already happened. Some of them seem to be playing out right before our eyes today, and some of them are yet to be fulfilled. So here we are in 2021, and we're reading verse number 28. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done." Here's a key verse. If you circle verses or underline verses or maybe the numbers, here's a good one. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man," this is speaking with Jesus, "the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." Verse number 35, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even." Amber hears that thought again, "at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing in the early morning, or in the morning." By the way, in God's economy, in the Word of God, His day begins with the evening. Evening and morning were the first day. But Amber came to my office today and asked the question. And it was funny how it's presented right here in this verse. Verse number 36, lest coming suddenly, He finds you sleeping. "And what I say unto you, I say unto all," this last word, "watch." In case you were watching and paying attention, four times in this chapter, in these verses, the word "watch" shows up. He's challenging us. When a game started, or when the game started, whenever we were children, someone was chosen to be it. A space or a spot was chosen to be the base. It usually was a tree or something like that. And whoever was it would stand at the base. They would close their eyes and they would count to 100. How many of you know the game I'm talking about right now? Okay. While they closed their eyes and counted to 100 or whatever the number was, everybody else ran and hid. Then it was its job to find the others before they could return to the base. And when it found someone and they touched them or caught them, they became it. Part of that game that echoes in my mind in these verses is this part. 1, 2, 3. Let's say we're going to count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What's the phrase? "Ready or not, here I come." Here's a thought today. Ready or not, He's coming again. We're watching the countdown. We're not the ones making the count, but it's a countdown. Ready or not, here He comes. Three thoughts today. Number one, in this passage, we're going to deal with signs today. Number one, the signs of His coming. It was spring whenever Jesus was sitting there on the Mount of Olives and He was speaking to His men. All around them were the signs of life that documented the transition of the season. Tina and I were talking about it the other day, and even Ellie made the comment as she stood in our living room and looked out, and she said, "Papa, I can't see the road anymore." I said, "Why not?" She said, "The leaves are in the way." Just a couple months ago, you could see clear out to the road. You could see our animals out in the fields and all of that. You can't see that anymore. The leaves are in the way. And if the leaves were in the way, the cicadas would be in the way. If you guys have not heard them yet, come to our house, and it sounds like the invasion of the insects. I don't care what people say. I don't care how you cook them. They still don't taste very good. I must be cleaning them wrong or something. I've tried every way, and I just can't seem to get the hang of it. And I see millions of them. I'm thinking, man, I could have like 3 months' supply of food right here if I could just get a taste for them. And no, they don't taste like chicken. They taste like a bug. And they're gross, and they crunch. And if you've got a better recipe, let me know. 17 years, these guys have been dormant, and all of a sudden they come crawling out of the ground, and they've invaded our world. I've never seen anything like this before. Never. Could you imagine if they were locusts and they ate the leaves off the trees? Then Ellie could be able to see the road from my eyes. But you know, I look and I see and I'm watching around, and someone said it was a sign of something. And I'm like, a sign of what? I'm watching in the news today and I'm seeing signs. I'm watching, speaking to men, women, boys and girls about their hearts and their lives. And I'm seeing signs. They asked Jesus, they said, "What will be the signs?" He said, "There'll be many false messiahs. There'll be many that'll stand and say, 'I have the answers.'" Well, we have that today, don't we? I have the answers. "There'll be wars and rumors of wars." Oh boy, we've got some things coming on the horizon right now. There's an Iranian warship headed toward South America. What? Really? "There'll be turmoil among the nations of the earth." Sooner or later, there's going to be a bill to pay for all the trillions of dollars that have been falsely printed. In fact, we're seeing it. Tina and I were at Lowe's yesterday. A 2x6. I don't know how long it was, but it was $55. It's like 16 feet long, wasn't it? We added it up. There was a bunch of them on a cart. Somebody had bought them, and I told Tina, I said, "There's over $4,000 worth of 2x6s on that one cart." Can I tell you something? That's turmoil. Price of gas. Price of houses. The house out here on 252 is for sale again. About the fifth time since they built it in the last 10 years. Must be something wrong with it. You know how much they want for it? $509,000. I can remember the first time it sold for $189,000. Jesus said one of the signs would be this: there'll be a persecution of my people. The world seems to be focused on the little nation of Israel. The hatred toward the nation of Israel right now is staggering. The hatred for God's people. Because here's the truth. Whenever the Word of God calls it sin, it really doesn't matter what the world's opinion is. it's still sin, it's still wrong, it's still evil, it's still wicked. And you and I have no choice but to boldly proclaim it. That's still sin. So the signs are clear. But also the signs are being completed. Look at it with me, if you will. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson today. Brother Steve said I was going to preach short, and I probably will. Okay, so just hang on. We'll try to be finished quickly. But I want you to look with me at verse number 28. He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree, which when her branch is yet tender and putteth forth her leaves, you know that summer is near." Jesus is looking, and he's and just a day before, he cursed the fig tree. And then you go back about 10 sermons ago, and we talked about that, how Jesus cursed the fig tree because it didn't have any fruit. It had leaves only. And he cursed it, and it died from the roots up. That was a picture of the nation of Israel. And at that time when Jesus was alive, the nation of Israel had all of the signs of religion, but they had no fruit. They did not know Jesus. So Jesus cursed them. Within just a few years after the death of Christ in AD 70, the Roman Empire came in and destroyed the nation of Israel. They tore their temple down brick by brick. They ran the people off. They put many of them in slavery. They killed thousands of them. And others fled. I guess fled would be the proper word. They fled from there. They even changed the name from Israel to Palestine, the official name. Literally, to wipe the nation of Israel off the face of the earth. For over 1,800 years, there was no nation of Israel. There was no place there. In spite of God giving a promise that they would live there and that would be their homeland. World War I happened. As a result of World War I, the British Empire took over much of the world. One of the little tiny pieces of land that they took over was the land known as Palestine, that part of the Middle East. Up to that point, it had been occupied by Muslim invaders, and you could go down through the centuries and you could see how over and over again pagan idols had been set up and all of these things. There's just no way that God could create or bring back the nation of Israel. At that point, many of the nations had begun to say, you know what? We want to help establish the land, the nation of Israel. The Jews need to have their own homeland again. It was wrong for it to have been taken away from them. Nothing happened. About 11 years later, another world war came out. Of course, we know of all the atrocities of Hitler and how he literally tried to destroy the Israelites, the Jews, over 6 million in one place, over 10 million that the Russians killed. And they were our allies. It's funny how that happens. But at the end of World War II, out of all of that chaos came something awesome. In May 14th, 1948, a little piece of land in the Middle East was carved out. And the world recognized that is Israel's homeland. We had a president at that point who grew up in Sunday school and believed the Bible. His name was Harry Truman. Now, Harry Truman, a lot of his policies, many of us probably not would completely agree with. But within moments of that all being taken care of, he led the United States of America to recognize Israel as a nation. By the way, they didn't need for the United States to recognize them. God had already done that. But let's go back. Jesus was telling these men, and he said, whenever you see the fig tree begin to blossom, begin to bloom. That fig tree had been cursed and it died, but now it's resurrected, if you will. A miracle had happened. Throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament, the Bible refers to Israel as a fig tree. We've seen that happen. Some of you were alive whenever that happened. Some of you had grandparents and great-grandparents that were alive. And it's still in our history books today. As of today. We don't know about 5 years from now. But it's still there. So the signs are being completed. And then Jesus says something that is tremendous. And here's the truth today. He's saying these things are happening. These things are going to happen. And this is the confirmation. He puts his seal on this. Verse number 31. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Here's something you need to understand today. This verse is a simple confirmation that everything that Jesus says and teaches is truth. What did Jesus say that is absolute truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Word of God says, thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This book has been burnt. This book has been banned. This book has been banished. This book has been pushed off the scene, but it's still here and it's still changing lives today. This book right here has power that no other book in the universe has. And the reason why is not because of the pages it's printed on, not because of the hearts it's implanted in, but because of the author that gave it to us. This book right here is the only book in the universe that whenever we read it every single time, the author that gave it to us is there with us. He's interpreting it. He's applying it. He's working it deep into our souls. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle, that's the little dot over the I, that's the little X on the T, and that's the little piece of the cursive writing. One tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all shall be fulfilled. You know what he's saying? My word stands forever. If no other sign today, that is it there. The word of God is still real. And I look around this room today and I'm watching and I'm seeing lives that are rapidly being changed by the word of God, mine included. And I'm thankful for that today. You want to know what the signs are? One of the greatest signs today that I see are the lives that are being changed. The signs of His coming. Jesus is coming again. But there's a secrecy to it also. There's a secrecy to it. Look at it, verse number 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither Son but the Father. In 1988, 2 years after I graduated, no, 4 years after I graduated from high school, 2 years after I was married, the same year that Amber was born. I just remembered that. 1988, that's a long time ago. A retired NASA worker wrote a book entitled 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. You know what happened at the end of 1988? He wrote a sequel. 89 Reasons Why Jesus Returned in 1989. I don't know what he did after that. That was all I could find about it. The Bible says no man knows the hour. I've said this jokingly throughout my life since I've been a Christian. I believe this. If someone actually guessed the day, God would change it. So quit guessing. Amber, I didn't have you. Do you have the slide, the one? Put it up there. Let's walk through this. I can't see it back there. Okay, let me get my little pointer. By the way, this may take longer than I thought it would. Some of you guys are shocked. Here we are right here. This is the current church age. This is the day and time in which we live. You could put it underneath there, 2021. Okay? We do not know when this event is happening, the rapture of the church, the rapture of the saints of God. That is the trumpet that's going to sound. That's when we shall all be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Okay? That's the next event. After that happens, we have the start of the tribulation period. This is what Jesus is talking about here. All the bad things that are going to happen. What he's doing is he's purifying the Jewish nation. He's purging those unbelievers. And you're going to have the second coming, the second advent of Jesus Christ. So if you look at future events, there's the rapture of the saints of God. That's next. Nothing else has to happen in order for that to happen. Nation of Israel has been established. All the signs are in place. And the world is going and turmoil and chaos and all those things. So we have that going on. As soon as that happens, a man's going to step on the scene and he's going to say, I come to bring peace. You know what the whole world's going to say? Man, we've been looking for you. They begin to follow him. For 3.5 years, it's kind of peaceful. Unless you really read, really research. Because anytime someone promises peace, guess what? Usually a lot of people die. 3.5 years into that, this man walks into the newly rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And he demands worship. He declares that he is God. Then becomes what is known as the Great Tribulation. The mask is off. I don't know when this time is going to happen yet, but it's soon. Here's what Jesus says. There's a secrecy. He says, it's hidden. It's hidden. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. I recently joined, I think it's the Andy Griffith Group on Facebook. I'm a member of a couple of groups, some really kind of, you know, dark and ominous preacher-type groups, gun groups, you know, prepper groups, you know, those of us that have our own bunkers and that stuff. Those that have them, not those of us, sorry. And then I'm a member of the Andy Griffith Group. I'll tell you, my life is full of contradiction, amen? I'm also a member of the Gunsmoke Group because I love Marshall Matt Dillon. Amen. And of course, Festus. But I saw a meme with Andy Griffith. Don't worry, I'm not sidetracked today, okay? I'm still on point. Saw a meme. Opie says, Pa, when is Jesus coming? Andy, in all of his wisdom, says, you know, I don't rightly know. I'm not part of the planning committee. I'm part of the welcoming committee. I don't know exactly, and that's what this verse right here said. I don't exactly know. My responsibility is to watch and to be prepared. See, it's a hidden time, but it's also a heavenly time. Because here's the truth. Jesus is coming back. So there are signs, there's a secrecy, but number three, there's a... Amber, let's go to this one. There's a seriousness. Everything's kind of messing up right now, but that's okay. If it messes up too much, we'll shut them down. Follow with me in verse number 33 on. And I want you to take your pen out, and I want you to do me a favor. I want you to circle the little word watch whenever you see it. Verse number 33, take heed, watch, and pray. Now, the underlying Greek word for that means to linger. To linger. He's telling us to linger in prayer, to spend time in prayer. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Verse number 34, for the Son of Man, now he's given an example. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to, what's the word? To watch, okay? The word watch there means not to fall asleep. The word watch there means to be attentive, to be ready, to be awake. Watch. And then in verse number 35, he just starts it off right again. Watch ye therefore. For you know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, is he coming in the evening or at midnight? Or at the cock crowing, if you have a rooster, that's early in the morning before the daylight happens, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you what? Sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. What's the word? Ready? Watch. So there are signs. There's some secrecy to it. But there's some seriousness to it. We're challenged to watch. The idea of a watchman who dares not fall asleep while he is on duty. He is to be alert at all times. And then we're challenged to work. To work. Jesus describes himself as an owner, a house owner who leaves his business in the hands of his servants. He assigns each one of his servants a specific task. The servants do not know when the master is going to return, so they're always ready. How many of you have ever had someone coming over to your home and you made extra preparations for them? How many have ever done that before? You do that, what are some of the things you do? You clean up, you maybe take all the stuff that normally sits on the dining room table and you shove it into that one room. How many of you have that one room in your house that if somebody comes by, if they go in there, all of your secrets are unveiled? It's like, the rest of my life is all together. Don't go in that room. You'll see the truth. Amen. When Jesus saved us, here's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be prepared for him to come at any time. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works." And it goes on. But the verse that we normally forget about is verse number 10 of that in Ephesians. It says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good," what? "Works." So my question to you today is this. What's your work? What are you supposed to be doing? Are you doing it? Because here's the truth. When Jesus comes back, you don't have a room to hide all that stuff in. He has access to every room. Do you know what the Lord wants you to do? You say, "Well, I'm not sure." Well, ask Him. Ask Him. Just every day. It'll be okay. We're almost finished. Just ask Him. Are you willing? Turn this one on, Tim. Are you willing to do what He asks you to do? See, sometimes it's not enough to know what we should be doing. The question really is, the struggle is this: am I willing to do it? What does He want me to do? Watch? Pray? Serve? Be a good mom? Yes. Be a godly mom? Yes. Be a godly dad? Yes. Be a godly son? Be a godly daughter? Yes. A study revealed that the average 70-year-old has spent nearly 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 years in amusements, 6 years at the dinner table, 5 years in transportation, 4 years in conversation. That's probably a man, not a woman. 3 years in education, 2 years studying and reading. His other 4 years were spent in miscellaneous pursuits. Of those 4 years, he spent 45 minutes in church on Sundays, and 5 minutes were devoted to prayer each day. This adds up to not an all-impressive 5 months that he gave to God over the course of 70 years of his life. If that same man had been a faithful churchgoer who attended church and Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he would only still have spent 1 year and 9 months to God. Are we living for Him? Because Jesus says in the last verse, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready or not? Here I come. Are you ready? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Why not? Why not today? if you are a Christian, are you serving? Are there things in your life that need to change? Remember, there's no room for you to hide that stuff. It's not hidden from Him. Maybe you need help. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing." Ask. Just ask. Say, "Lord, will you show me?" And then be willing to do it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. No one looking around. I'm going to ask you a question this morning.